Blog Talk Radio.
One and only Coach Lee here, shaking and baking, getting ready for the game, letting you know how it is and how it goes down as a football coach here in women's football nationwide. Hey, we got a great show lined up for you today. You know, I always got to give super props to my sponsors who are willing to put their name out there and tag it along the side of women's football. So let's go ahead and get right into our famous commercials here. You know what we got. We got some Enterprise. So let's hear what Enterprise got to say.
Enterprise is picking us up. Sounds expensive.
Pickup's free, Mom.
This car for the weekend? Looks expensive.
It's 50% off, Mom.
You ought to rent me a car every weekend.
Mom,
pick Enterprise. We'll pick you up.
Again, we got Enterprise. Why? Because they will pick you up. And you always know that we got to have the athletic apparel that's going to be putting it down for the women sooner or later. But let's go ahead and get right into Adidas. My Adidas. Adidas, 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 Adidas. The freshest gear for women's football. My Adidas. Anyway, you were rocking it with Coach Lee here. Four quarters with Coach Lee. For those who want to call in, you can call in at 347-826-7278. And those who are on blogtalkradio.com/WFB Talks continues. Hey, welcome to the show. Hey, this is my third week coaching and letting people know what it's like to be a coach, what it's like to go four quarters, what it's like to, you know, do a lot of things. But, you know, a lot of us sit back and, you know, and scream at the TV and call that coach a dummy and this, this, and that. You know why? Because it's easy to do that. It's easy to do that when you only have 30 seconds to make a decision. You know, it's a life or death decision as a coach. Either it's a good play or it's a bad play. But a lot of things happened on, you know, this weekend as I was listening in because, of course, my team, the Las Vegas Showgirls, we had a bye. And I was listening in to, I think, three games this weekend that was aired over, broadcast over the Internet. And it was some great games and some interesting games. But, you know, as a fan, I always question the calls of the head coach. But as a head coach, I'm always saying that I know what I'm doing, that I'm the right one to get it done. So my whole thing is this. It's easy being a fan. It's easy calling plays. But as I sat back on the couch and listened to that Modesto game, that was a great game. A lot of interesting challenges took place. But Modesto and Tucson was a great matchup. And my only thing is, you know, as a coach, again, you know, you're about to go into halftime. You're down 6-0, and it's fourth down, and you're inside the 5 or 10 yard line. I'm not quite sure where they were actually at, but instead of punting the ball, I guess it was a fake punt on their own 10 yard line, and I really questioned that call because Tucson wind up getting the ball with like 30 seconds to go and wind up scoring. Now that puts you down 12-0 at halftime and kind of demoralizes the team because they just scored again. I think Modesto, if they didn't give up that score, could have possibly won 8-6 that game. You know, same thing watching the draft this weekend. You know, you sit there as a football fan and you got 7 minutes to make a decision of your life to bring a player onto your team. Instead of picking Crabtree, Raiders fans, Raider Nation, we get, what's his name again? Oh, man, I forgot his name. Bay, wide receiver, just because he runs a 4-3. Come on, you got to get productivity. Productivity. So, again, you got to definitely make sure that you know, you got a certain amount of time to get things done. But as a coach, you got to have your head on straight. You got to be able to set up things and make things happen. You know, if you're going to make life decisions like that before halftime, you're going to deal with the consequences. You know, if it worked, it's a great play. You're a genius. But a lot of geniuses are sitting up in the stands questioning you all the time. And as a coach, I know I've been on the sidelines, and you can hear every little saying about what you're doing wrong. Coach, she's too deep. Coach, pass the ball. Coach, why you don't run the ball? And other things I don't want to say on here because it's just a little bit too, how would I put it? Make you want to go up in the stand and really just choke out that particular fan. That's how I'll put it. But anyway, you know, as a coach, it's hard. When you got 25 seconds to make a decision on first and 10, second and 10, that's why you got the game plan. You know, you got to know what you're going to be doing and how you're going to do it. And, you know, you can't listen to the folks up in the stands. But a lot of times the people up in the stands are right because they got that bird's-eye view, and they can see what's going on. And, you know, they can see what you're doing and what you're not doing. That's why if you have a great coaching staff, you have people up in the booth as well with the bird's-eye view. You know, but again, I question some of the calls, and I know as a coach I'm questioned about my call. And as a head coach, you know what? It's my call. You know, if you're going to fire me, fire me. But at least I'm going to make the play. I'm going to call the play that I wanted. Now, if it works, I'm a genius. If it don't work, fire me. You know, that's the bottom line. You just get fired. But you got to have some play calling going on, and you got to make sense out of this thing. You know, give your team a chance to win, and that's being a great play caller. You know, I see a lot of people question me because, you know, I like a couple of trick plays here and there. I like excitement. You know, and I might start the game off with a trick play like I did 2 weeks ago, which was a halfback pass. You know, on the first play of the game. Why? Because when I scouted the team that we're playing, you know, they have very aggressive safeties. So we figured we showed a little run action. And again, in our scrimmage, we showed a lot of run action. And we put our starting quarterback at starting tailback and our second string quarterback in at quarterback, and we ran it. The play was there. We just didn't connect. And then I allowed my quarterback at the beginning of the half to call her own plays for the first series, and guess what she came out with? The halfback pass again. I just heard people in the stands, Coach, you tried that earlier. It didn't work. Why do it again? I just wanted to turn around my bullhorn and say, I didn't call the play. That was the quarterback's play. But, you know, that's part of giving your team the opportunity to get out there and learn the game. Because, again, I allow my young ladies or my quarterbacks to call their own plays. They're in the game. They know what works, what's going on, and what's happening. They know what they feel comfortable with. And as a great coach, you have to feel comfortable with the quarterback making changes. You know, I call my quarterback Mini-Me, and we have We talk a lot on the phone. We talk a lot through email. We talk a lot on the field because I want her to think like me out on the field. I want her to have the same vision that I have for the game. So, again, that's just part of the development and getting things together and understanding what plays you run well and what the other team is trying to do. So, again, this segment is all about play calling, and you got to make the right call. You got to make the right play. You know, no matter how you drop the X's and O's, you know, if everybody's not giving their, you know, 100% and blocking the person they're supposed to block, because it only takes one person to break down and that play just falls apart. But you got to have the confidence in your play calling. And I know sometimes I even question myself on the play calling. So, you know, you got to have that super confidence and make it happen. And you got to have some good coaches that can see other things that are going on. And you got to have players that are able to come off the sideline, I mean, to the sideline and say, hey, coach, you know, I'm killing this girl. I'm killing her. Let's keep running, you know, right off tackle. Let's run off tackle. You know, I'm killing her. You know, and you got to believe that that's what's happening. You know, because sometimes I come home after the game and I pop in the film and I'm like, wow, how come I didn't run that play? I should have kept going. I should have kept going with that play. You know, but it becomes redundant sometimes. But, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If they can't stop it, keep it going. And that's something that as coaches we have to be able to put out there on the field, you know. So what, you only call four plays a game. If those four plays work and they can't stop it, why go to play five, play six, play seven, play eight? Just waste the time, you know, unless you really want to work on some things. You know, so again, play calling is very important here in the first quarter. You rocking it with Coach Lee, four quarters with Coach Lee here on Blog Talk Radio. If you want to call in at a later point in time on a five-minute drive, you can call in at 347-826-7278. You know, we got a few minutes left here. We got about 3 minutes left in this first quarter. And, again, as I was listening in to a couple of plays this weekend, we had a couple of situations that I was like, wow, you know, play calling really is bad when the team intercepts the ball and, you know, you've been stopping them the whole game, and then they intercept the ball and they score, you know. Again, it falls back on the coach. You got to call the right play. You got to set your team up and put them in the position to be able to run that play. I've seen coaches come out with play action, you know, or come out with a reverse out of the blue and never ran a sweep before, you know. So part of your calling, your play calling, is you got to set that play up. You know, if you're going to come go up, run off tackle, then you can run a boot off of that and roll to the right or left. I've seen people go boot off right off the back, naked boot. And I'm like, you never set it up. Why would the team even go for the play action if you never set up that play? Same thing with reverse. I've seen teams run reverses, you know, without running the sweep. So, again, you got to learn how to play call, and play calling is very important. So we are running out of time here in the first quarter. We're knocking it out here, four quarters with Coach Lee. Again, on Blog Talk Radio, WFB Talk continues, and you can always call in at 347-826-7278. You know, I love it. And so we're going to move on and head back to second quarter. But before we go to the second quarter, you know what we got? Commercial break. So let's get our commercials in here real quick. Let's start off with our Adidas because, you know, again, we got to support those who are going to support us. My Adidas, yeah, that's where it's at. And for our second sponsor, we got Enterprise.
Enterprise is picking us up. That's expensive.
Pickup's free, Mom.
This car for the weekend looks expensive.
It's 50% off, Mom.
You ought to rent me a car every weekend.
Mom.
Pick Enterprise. We'll pick you up.
Yeah, pick Enterprise. Why? Because they'll pick you up. Pick me up, pick all of us up. Get us rocking and rolling, get us where we got to go. because Enterprise, they will pick us up. All right, moving on to the second quarter. Second quarter topic is, you know, again, I run the women's football group .ning.com board, and a hot topic that took place this weekend was the unwritten law of running up the scores. Some great things came out of the discussion there on the board, and I'd like to definitely talk about a few of those things. You know, again, if you look at some of the scores, I don't have the scores in front of me, you know, but there was a lot of blankety blanks going on out there. When I say blankety blanks, I'm talking about donuts. I'm talking about zeros. I'm talking about not scoring. I'm talking about not getting in the end zone. I'm talking about not kicking the field goal. I'm talking about not scoring a point. But then on the other side, you're looking at 50 to nothing. You're looking at 60 to nothing. You're looking at 42 to nothing. You're looking at, 65 to nothing. And the question was posed, you know, what is the written law about running up the scores? And there was another situation that I'll talk about as well in that. But, you know, again, the scores, is it running up the score, or is it just that bad of a team that you're playing? What's going on? But let me just talk about it real quick. As I switch over to the Ning board, Women's Tackle Football Group .ning.com. And this is from Coach Anthony. This is not Coach Anthony Bartley. This is another coach. But basically what was going on, he said, when is enough is enough? If you are winning the game by 28 points with 30 seconds left, do you call a timeout and try to throw the ball in the end zone to tack on another 6 points? Do you throw the ball on your next play as time expires? Do you try to pad your stats at another team expense? You know, that is a great question. The unwritten law in football is you take a knee. You take a knee. If you got 30 seconds left, or if you got 45 seconds left in this first down, and you're already up 28 to nothing, you take three knees and call it a day, game over. That's the respectable thing to do in football. I don't care what level of football it is. It can be Pop Warner football, it can be pro football, and anything in between. But the unwritten law is, hey, take a knee. You already won. No need to pile up the points. Yeah, you know, it's only 28 to nothing. That's not a blowout or anything, but it's the respect thing. It's we must play with class type of thing. You know, that's what a classy coach would do, you know. But some of the comments, again, in that situation, trying to explain what that coach was doing. You know, one coach, Coach John, talking about, I lost the game 43-8. I have never had that many points scored on me in 9 seasons combined, which is hard to believe. Come on now. You got to have more than 43 points scored on you combined in 9 seasons. That's a lot of donuts if you haven't combined 43 points. But he said he took it like a man, but he know he got to change his coaching skills and take it to another level. This is his first year coaching women's football, and now I know I must filter down my techniques. You know, and that's part of it too. But the reality is, again, it's a classy thing to just take a knee. It's a respectable thing to take a knee and not throw the ball. I think there was somebody on there that said to try to come up with an excuse, you know, saying, well, maybe they called timeout to get some players in and want to do a special play for that one particular player or work on some things. Yeah, you don't work on those things with 30 seconds to go, though. You know, it's just the unwritten law. It's football law. You just take it and take the knee. You know, as far as going running up the scores, you know, with those high scores, 61 to nothing, 66 nothing, things of that nature. My philosophy is this as a coach. You know, once I feel that the game is in the bag, being in this level of football, anywhere between 3 to 4 touchdowns up, hey, I make sure that everybody's getting into the game. Great example would be our very first game this year. It's more important to me as a coach to get the win, yes. But I want everybody on the team to be happy as well. And if I have an opportunity to get everybody in the game, then get them in there. Let's roll. You know, give everybody an opportunity to play if that's the case. If you feel you got the game under control, which I felt we had 2 weeks ago, that everybody got in. So afterwards, everybody was feeling good about, hey, I contributed to the game. We did this and we did that. And they felt good about it. But to run up the scores, you know, my thing is this. If you're keeping your first-string offense in there, you know, and just pounding away and pounding away, you're not doing us no justice. That's running up the score. You know, if you don't want them to score and you keep your first-team defense in, that's understood because, again, a lot of us make the playoff based on how many points we give up, not how many points we score, but how many points we give up. So it's understood if your goal as a team is to put donuts up there. That's great. You know, football is football. But, you know, if I put my second string in there, I'm going to run plays for them. I'm not going to sit down and take a knee because it's not fair to them either. But what I'm saying is, hey, coach, hey, I got my second team in here. We're going to run our plays. We're going to do what we do, you know, because they practice just as hard too. So, and another coach will understand that that's not running up the score. But if you leave in that first string in there and you keep passing the ball and you're up 50 to nothing and you know, that's running the score up. That is my definition of running up the score. But if you put your second string in there at 28 to nothing and you're running sweeps and you're running off tackle and you're running dives and the other team just ain't making tackles, that's not running up the score. That's playing football. And the other team need to do a chin check and start making some tackles. So, again, you know, we see a lot of it. You know, it's a tiring subject that most of us have expressed and talked about. But it's something that needs to be talked about on a consistent basis. Two things got to happen. One, improve your product. Two, don't play. Because that's the bottom line. The losing team got to step their game up. I mean, I'm not going to tell a team that's great and good to say, oh, downplay this. You know, don't play your starters at the beginning of the game. Make it a game until the end. But, you know, it happens sometimes. And my thing is this, you know, you know when you overmatched, but you got to do things on your side of the ball to not give up those 60 points. Come on, coaches. Stop throwing the doggone ball. Let the clock run. You know, throwing balls, throwing interceptions. I was listening to one game, quarterback threw 6 interceptions in a game. You can't throw the ball 45 times in a game when you're losing 45 to nothing and think that's going to help you. It's not. Get through the game, hand the ball off, get 3 yards. Coaches, think about this. If you average 3.5 yards a carry, three and a half times 3.5 is more than 10 yards. You got a first down. You're moving the chains. Move the chains. That's what it's all about. So, again, the unwritten law of running up the score, yes, there is one out there. It's called being classy and being respectful to the team that you're playing. But when you're trying to score with less than a minute to go in the game and it's first down, you know, the other team ain't calling timeouts, come on, folks, take a knee. Just take the knee, you know. But again, we got to do things that's going to help us as women football players, coaches, fans, and everything else. We need competitive games, and I know that the league's out there trying their best to schedule competitive teams, and we all don't know who's all coming back for next year. So when we schedule these games, we don't know what we're getting back until, you know, the day we get on the field in most cases. So, you know, it's just some of those seasons. You're going to be like the Detroit Lions sometimes. You might be winless for a season. The next year, heck, you might be a playoff team. You know, the next year, you might be Pittsburgh and win the championship, even though I'm not a Pittsburgh fan. But, you know, it happens. But you got to keep banging and banging and banging. But, again, you keep killing these teams, you're going to demoralize them, and they're not going to want to come back. It's not going to be fun. The players get hurt. You know, I'm listening to some games, and there's only 17 players out there. You know, 21 players, and 4 players got hurt. You know, it goes back to recruiting. I know I'm getting off the topic, but we got to put product out there. We got to put coaching out there. We got to do all the great things to make this a great product. So don't go up there and run up the score. Don't go up there and knowing that you're going to be the team that only brought 21 players and you got 45 and 50, make that an opportunity for your other players, your second-string players, your practice players to get in and get some quality time in, not just the sloppy seconds and stuff like that. Get it together and give them some quality time. The more, the better. And when playoffs come around, when you got those tough games, you know if somebody goes down, you got somebody else that can stick it out with them. All right. We are moving on. And we're going to move on to halftime because it's about that time for a halftime. And that also gives me a chance to sip on a little water here real quick because I'm getting dry here in the desert. And when it's 95 degrees and you haven't drunk your water all day, you get dehydrated. So we're going to go to a halftime break. So here we go. Sponsors.
Enterprise is picking us up. Sounds expensive.
Pickup's free, Mom.
This car for the weekend? Looks expensive.
It's 50% off, Mom.
You ought to rent me a car every weekend.
Mom. Pick Enterprise. We'll pick you up.
Again, pick Enterprise. Why? Because they will pick you up. And let's go on to our Adidas. That was my Adidas. Here we go. We are back. We're rocking and rolling here in the third quarter. You know, as a coach, you go in with a game plan, and you go in at halftime, and you try to make adjustments and things of that nature because things didn't go according to plan. Well, just like in a real game, we had our special guest tonight, George Maulu, who could not make it tonight. He had an emergency that he had to deal with, and he gave me a call about 25 minutes before to let me know that he will not be able to call in. But it's all good because I'm still going to talk about Mr. George Maulu, and I'm going to bring him back on next week, and we'll talk more about his foundation and things that he's doing. But what I want to do, I want to reflect what George Maulu was doing and how we can do or how we can instill this or make this happen within our organizations, within our leagues, within our community. My man George Maulu, we go way back. I'm talking about like flats on a Cadillac. I'm talking about way back. I'm talking about 8 years old, way back. We were fortunate enough to grow up and play on the same football teams throughout our childhood and throughout high school. He was anointed the option quarterback savior for the University of Arizona from 1988 to 1991, his career came to an end with a knee injury, but he did come back and he played. But George Maulu is one of my Samoan brothers out there that's doing big things out in the community, and he started up a foundation called, Aiga Foundation, which is a Polynesian foundation. And basically what he does is he helps kids in different communities, in the Polynesian communities, putting on camps, leadership programs, and some other stuff, and instilling that with the football techniques and football camps, and help a lot of these kids go out and get scholarships. And as you can see, there's a lot of Polynesian players that are now playing in the NFL, even though they've been playing for long periods of time. But now they're being recognized as great athletes as well. At linebacker, strong safety, offensive line, defensive line, you know. So, again, you know, George Maulu will not be in, but I always have a plan B in case that play doesn't work. But we'll talk about foundations and starting foundations within our teams. You know, part of being a good coach is being a good teacher, and part of being a good teacher is going out and getting students to teach and to mentor. And I think that each and every one of us, coaches and teams and football players out there, women football players, are great role models. Believe it or not, I think you guys are some of the greatest role models because you're showing girls out there that, hey, you can do whatever you want to do. You can be whatever you want to be. And we have stepped our foot into the last man cave. The last man cave of sports is football. And women have been doing it not only for the past 10 years in this new era, but we can go back in the history of in the early 60s and 70s in early 80s, women football teams being pioneers. If I do recall, I think the Dallas Diamonds had one of the original teams from the 70s at their opening week against the Houston Energy and dedicated, you know, that game to them and gave them a lot of love. And that was great. And that's some of the things that we have to do as teams. We need to reach out and find out if there are any other teams in our facility, not our facility, but within our area, in our town, that may have been around back in the day, and invite those old-timers out. You know, let them know that they were trailblazers, trendsetters, you know, that they were your heroes, you know what I'm saying? So, again, as teams, we can go out into community and start up foundations, you know, a girls club, you know, girls football club, do girls football camps, do girls' day. You know, there's a lot of things that you can use your football prowess to benefit the community. The more community service events you do, the more opportunities you have to get recognition and get in the newspapers and on the news. So, again, we have to step forward and be those trendsetters and show these young ladies, you know, hey, you can get in shape. Because, again, if you look around high school, they're trying to cut back. And what are they cutting back? P.E. You know, the NFL is on a big thing right now, a big campaign. Let's keep gym. You know, we want gym. And if you watch the NFL Network, you see that commercial all day, every day. Because, again, you got to keep these bodies healthy. You got to keep them fit. And I think from a woman's perspective, I think you can serve as two roles, not only as a role model, but showing that, you know, yes, you can be a little overweight, but that doesn't stop you from doing what you want to do. So, again, fit and fitness will be great. Again, going back to the foundation that my man George Maulu has put together, I mean, he's a traveling guy. I mean, he goes around to all the Polynesian communities throughout the United States and conducts football camps and clinics. And he sits them down, and he talks about the SATs and the ACTs and what it's like to be recruited. And, you know, a lot of these kids don't know that. You know, they don't have the background of having family members that have gone to college, being recruited and playing ball. So, again, I give big ups to my man, George Maulu. Sorry he couldn't make it here today. We will get him back up here so we can go more in depth into what's going on. But we're going to move on. We got to switch real. We got to run in reverse because, you know, we got to have a plan B in when we do things. And so my next topic, even though we're still in the third quarter, my third quarter topic is exposure. Exposure. How much exposure are we getting out there? You know, this is my fifth year, well, actually my fourth year in women's football. And I think this year has been the most exposure that women's football has gotten on a national level, a national local level, as I put it. In the past, I've seen articles where, you know, it might be in the USA Today, which is great national exposure, but it was just that one article, and that was it, and you'll hear nothing else about women's football. This year, I'm looking up, I see the LA Times, I'm looking at the New York Times, I'm looking at the Sports Review Journal, Business Review Journal. I mean, I'm seeing articles all over places, and teams are getting a lot more coverage in their city, and they're posting them up both on both league websites, and that's great. And I'm loving it. And I think BJ hit on it yesterday about the competition thing. You know, it's all about it. You know, the more we compete amongst each other, the more we get out there and we talk about it, the football games, the more exposure we get, that makes it more competitive. And that's what football teaches, being competitive. Yeah, you get knocked down, dust yourself off, and try it again. That's what you got to do. But this year, I'm really seeing a second level of achievement here with women's football. With the local newspapers getting involved and you guys putting them up on your websites. Kudos to everybody. I mean, that is great, you know. And with that exposure, we're getting a lot more exposure on the Women's Tackle Football Ning, group.ning.com board. And what I'm looking for is I have a buddy of mine who works for a particular news station, and he asked me about using the videos that he wants to do a highlight show. And I'm like, man, that sounds great. But, you know, every team out there don't have a person that does the video and that can put together a highlight, you know, 2-minute, 3-minute highlight of some of the best plays of that game. That would be sweet because, again, that is where we need to step up at, is that exposure. I've been talking to Jemele Hill on ESPN, and she's given me a lot of advice on how we can get exposure, and she gave me her email and was like, hey, email me everything you can give me about women's football. And she's one of the top analysts on women's, on ESPN. And she gets back and forth with me at least twice a week and asks me how football is going and how the women's game is. And I talk highly about everybody out there. And I tell her to go visit the websites herself, And, so that means you got to get your stuff in order, get it to the point where it's legible, is you're able to read it, and you're giving some substance, not just a bunch of fluff. Just a bunch of fluff. All right. So anyway, you know what? I got a caller. Why don't we go ahead and we're going to do the five-man drive a little early, but it's not a five-man drive, but if they want to jump in, let them jump in. Caller, you on with Coach Lee. What's up?
Mr. Lee.
Oh, silky. Who is this on the phone?
You know the one and only.
Coach Bartley, what's happening?
California Lynx, baby.
Huh?
I said that California Lynx, baby.
Come on now. Just barbecuing you guys. You come to Vegas and get barbecued.
Ah, man, you know what? We're just scratching the surface.
Okay.
We're about to make Vegas our Lynx den as well.
Okay, so, nah, it's all good. Talk to me, Coach. What you got on your mind?
I just tuned in,
mm-hmm.
and I guess I came right on time. You're talking about exposure.
Okay.
Yeah. It's one of those topics where as we continue to grow with this level of football, we're liable to get more exposure. But again, it has to be done the right way. I know for me, one of the big things that I did was I took a step forward and teaming up with one of the local men's semi-pro teams.
Right.
And this so happens to have been, one of the major market teams that are in the LCFL, which is owned by, of course, Patty LaBelle.
Correct.
And that right there is just major strides, because not only did I hook up with my team, the South Bay Skulls, but, I got calls from the owners from the LA Generals. I'm trying to get some more connections established with the Inglewood Blackhawks. Just some of the other local teams. And again, it's just about, that getting that exposure.
Yeah, definitely, man. That's one thing that we've done this year across the board for women's football. Like I said, I gave kudos to everybody, because everybody's doing their part right now. They are out there trying to get that exposure. But, again, you're taking it to the next level. You're taking it to the men's game, and that's what we have to do to get that exposure. We got to get
it. I'm over 21,000 hits on my website, which – that's amazing considering my website's only been up since September.
Right. Well, because again, you're getting it out there and people are curious about women's football. That's the first thing that, I get when I go to a meeting or whatever and I'm presenting a women's football team. Everybody's like, what? Get out of here. No. People are intrigued by women playing football, but you got to get out there and put the word out that you play, that you're on a team, that you coach or you're an owner. And I think, getting that relationship with other semi-pro teams, men teams, high school teams, college teams, whatever, is definitely a crucial point in making this happen.
Yeah, exactly. I went so far as to going on to the semi-pro message boards, their little chat boards. They do a lot of trash talk and all that stuff, but they also put out, information as well. So when I put that out there, again, that's reaching out to a whole nother, spectrum of possible fans.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like I said, I talked to Jemele with ESPN, and she's like, she wants to get involved because she's the only female voice, that's battling it with Kip. What's her name? Skip. On, First Take in the morning, So,
mm-hmm.
Getting those relationships like that, and she's in Florida. She's based out of Florida, so the Florida teams wake up. You got somebody in your own backyard that's on national TV every morning, that can drop something about women's football. But it's going to take all of us to hit her up, not just Deion Lee, not Anthony Barley, not BJ. If we all, it's power in numbers. You know, and that's how you get exposure. It's the power in numbers. If it's only one team hitting USA Today or LA Times or New York Times, they ain't going to feel it. But if you got all 6,000 of us hitting up that newspaper, they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to say something. And that's what exposure is all about. And, again, that's the whole purpose of the tacklefootball.ning board, you know, is that exposure. And when I have somebody who's willing to do a recap show on a weekly basis based on, you know, video, you know, we got to jump on that, you know.
But you know what? It also, I look at it like this. The responsibility also lies on the powers that be that run these individual leagues,
mm-hmm.
because they should have the inside track on how to get, you know, I mean, it's not, they don't have to do, you know, an individual team, but if they do the league in general, then that's going to spark more interest, and then, you know, local news stations and new paper outlets, they're going to get interested, and then they're going to come, you know, seeking out and ask questions.
Right.
That's,
I'm feeling you on that, definitely that. Again, it's power in numbers. If you just got one league head calling all these places, that ain't going to make a difference. It got to be that league head and everybody else making calls in and say, hey, we are here. I'm knocking on the door. You need to do this and you need to do that. I mean, same thing with having sponsors. You know, one team cool can have a sponsor, but that sponsor really wants that the whole network. They want the 6,000 people that are that's playing football. Again, power in numbers, and that's what we haven't understood yet. Everything that we do surrounding women's football has to be in numbers. It can't be as individuals. It can't be Anthony Barley's the only one that has a connection with the men's semi-pro team. It should be, oh, that's how he did it? Okay, here we go. I got five teams in my area. You know what?
Yep.
Let me connect too, and then let them connect. I mean, I have 14 teams here in Las Vegas, men's semi-pro teams, and they're all at our practice and our games, you know, members from those teams, and they all passing out flyers for us. I mean, we're doing something for the Susan G. Komen Walk on May 2nd, where it's going to be, what, 45,000 women in downtown Las Vegas. Well, I partnered up with three football teams, and we did flyers, my information on one side, their information on the other side, and we're going to be passing them out.
There
you know,
you
again, so I like to reiterate, power in numbers, and that's what it's going to take to move forward.
The other thing that's going to help us out when it comes down to the whole, term of exposure, and, you know, in order for us to get the kind of exposure that we're looking for,
yes,
you got to have a quality product on the field.
Yeah, you got to have quality product, but you know what? A lot of people are scared to come to the game because they don't know what they're going to get. And that's why it's so important that if you can do a one-minute, a two-minute highlight video of your team with music or no music, it ain't got to be super professional. You can use the pause button on there. Like we used to do back in the old days before we had our mixers, we used to do the pause button mix. You know what I'm saying? That's old school. But if you can do that with your VCR and make a tape and then upload it to YouTube, I don't understand why we don't use YouTube and just blow it up. I mean, man, that's a network for your behind right there of exposure. And the better your video, the more hits you get. The harder hits, you know, if you getting them Chris Ocasio hits that you saw 2 weeks ago up on the website, you're going to get hits. You're going to get people watching and saying, is that women playing football?
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Because you felt them showgirls hitting, right?
Oh, man, come on.
Enough said.
We're not going to go there, man.
This is not the trash talking show. You're right. But you know what? That is what it's all about, you know. That brings excitement. When me and Coach is talking smack, man, if everybody was listening to us, they were like, I got to go see this match. What you guys think about wrestling? Wrestling was all hype. What do you think about boxing? All hype.
But check this out, though.
Yes, sir.
That game there that we had 2 weeks ago, see, that's a game that you can take to, you know, you can put it out there. You can take to the streets, and people will appreciate the fact that you see see a lot of hard hitting in that game.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I got to respect some of them links. Y'all bringing the heat, too. You know,
it was one of those things where, you know, you look up at the scoreboard, you know, you don't see no 61 to nothing blowouts.
No.
77 to nothing blowouts. You know, you saw a competitive game.
Right. And
that's
going yeah, go ahead.
To exposure. That's what's going to bring more butts in the stands. That's what's going to attract more media attention.
Right.
You know, right there. So, yeah, when you do utilize YouTube and other outlets like that, that's what's going to help out. Because trust me, I know the highlight clip I had for my indoor game, you know, people were jocking me, and if my numbers just constantly keep going and going and going. And that was just a little 2 minute clip.
Right, but you know what? That's all it takes. You know what I'm saying? It just takes a minute or two for people to get interested and say, wow, that's women's football. I got to go. I got to go see that. You know,
exactly.
And that's creating the hype buzz. You, that's what a highlight film is. It's all about your good plays. You're not going to put your fumbles on there and your interceptions and stuff like that. You're going to put the best of what you had to put out there for that day. You know?
Exactly.
And so we just got to use the mediums out there to get them going. You know, we got the Sports Geek Show. I mean, you got BJ's show, you got my show, you got your show, you got the Hawks. They what they do on the night, they run the night or something like that, but they're on the East Coast, so they're 3 hours ahead. So they not thinking right on that side of the earth anyway. But anyway, you know, it's all about exposure, man. It's all about exposure. Because you know what? You are in the fourth quarter with Coach Lee, and I got a super, super guest here, which is my man, Anthony Barley of the California Lynx. But you know what, Ant? I got to let you go, man. I'm glad you came on board, you know, and talked it up. I don't know if there's anybody else that want to jump on board, but we usually go to a fourth quarter right now. So I got to get my sponsors in, dog. So I'm going to have to let you go. You can still listen in and talk about some things a little bit later.
You handle that, man. I'll throw the four up in the air, you know, signifying that fourth quarter.
Yeah, put your four up in the air. Everybody, put your four up. You know what that means. So let's go to commercial break real quick. Here we go. And we're rocking with, you know, who we rocking with, Coach Lee, four quarters.
Enterprise is picking us up. Sounds expensive.
Pick up free, Mom.
This car for the weekend looks expensive.
It's 50% off, Mom.
You ought to rent me a car every weekend.
Mom. Pick Enterprise. We'll pick you up.
Yo, pick Enterprise. Why? Because they'll pick you up. And for our second sponsor for the night, we got Adidas. My Adidas, brought to you by My Adidas. This is Four Quarters with Coach Lee here on Blog Talk Radio. WFB talk continues. You know what I'm saying? If you want to call in, you can always reach me at 347-826-7278. We do have a 5-minute drive. You know, that's when you got the lead and you don't want the other team to get the ball. You need to put together that 5-minute drive. And I love to be in that position. Love to be in that position. But we'll see what we got tonight and see if we can finish up with a 5-minute drive. If not, you know what, we just take it to the house and go ahead and score on folks, you know. But you know what, going to the fourth quarter like we supposed to, everybody got their fours up. Everybody would know what that represented, that we own the fourth quarter. That is what we do as coaches. We want to let people know that we run the fourth quarter and we make it happen. So that's what we're doing here in the fourth quarter. We're going to take it down for you right here in the fourth quarter. But getting into the fourth quarter, we have a lot of things that we were talking about tonight. We talked about play calling. We talked about the unwritten law of running up the score. We talked about getting the foundation started in your community, getting involved in the community, you know, with other organizations that are out there, Boys and Girls Clubs, things of that nature. We talked about getting exposure, with the news articles and videos. You know, that's what it's all about. It is the exposure. It is about what it needs to go, need to be. You know, and part of that exposure, you got to find the tools and put them out there. You have to find the tools. I mean, we have the board here at womenstacklefootballgroup.ning.com, and we're not getting that full usage of this thing. I mean, think about it. What's so hard about putting your events up on the page, letting people know so that when fans come here, they know what's going on nationwide? Because I know that my fans always ask me, especially when they're new, where are these teams from? Are they local teams? What? You guys are in the National League? Wow, is there a team in my hometown, Birmingham? You know, what else? Chicago, Illinois? Is there a team in New York? And I go down the line and say, yeah, there's plenty of teams. But they don't know what's going on. And you just don't know that you're possibly missing fans from other people going to other games that have people that live in the town that you live in. You know, my mayor loves talking smack. And my mayor just told me that if we do make the championship, he definitely want to put a bet on with the other mayor. You know, again, exposure. Because my mayor here, Mayor Goodman, is Mr. Exposure. He loves giving Vegas exposure. So he is an icon in Vegas because he's always putting Vegas on the map, you know. But that's what we have to do, that exposure. And I think Coach Bartley did a great job talking about some of the things that he's done. I've talked about the things that I've done. But, again, it's up to you to do some of those things and get exposure on your end of town. Boy, that's my phone. Everybody's trying to reach me on some other lines. But you know what? You're four quarters with Coach Lee, and I ain't going to answer nobody's phone if it ain't got nothing to do with four quarters with Coach Lee here on Blog Talk Radio. So, anyway, getting back into the fourth quarter, we got about 9 minutes left in the quarter, and this is like when we really need to take it down and drive on these teams and get our first downs. Move the chains. We got to move the chains. So with us moving the chains, I'm going to jump onto a few of the topics that have just came up here on the board. And the question was asked about they asked the ref. The bottom line was this. Wait, where did it go? Oh, no. All right, there we go. The question was posed, is it legal to tackle a player receiving the ball midair before her feet touches the ground? Do we have to wait for her feet to hit the ground before we can tackle her? Well, The answer to that question is, once the ball hits the hands of the receivers, you can lay them out. Ta-dow! Lay them out. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. I know that I tell my coaches to teach to drive through the receivers. As soon as they touch the ball, we're driving right through them. Okay? So, again, to answer that question, is it legal to tackle a player receiving the ball in midair? As long as they touch the ball, you can hit them. So that was one of the questions that was asked of the refs. Another question that came that you can ask the refs, because, again, I have questions about some refs sometimes. Okay, I have another question by Sarah. She asked, one game last year I was hit in the back while trying to tackle the ball carrier, and the ref says that it was allowed. Is that true? And we had a ref, Chris Griffin. He states that if you were already engaged in the tackle, then this would be a non-call. You were about to engage in the tackle, that would be simply a missed call. Hopefully, you made a tackle regardless. So basically, the question is this. If you're engaged in making the tackle and an offensive player blocks you in the back, is that legal? And from the ref's point of view, yes, it is legal. As long as you are engaged. If you're not engaged, then it's clipping. It'll be a bad call. So, again, there's some very informative things here on the Ning board to get to the point of what you need to get done. Because, again, a lot of this is homework, ladies. You got to do your homework in order to be a better player. And I don't care how great of a coach I may be or somebody else may be. If you're not doing your homework, it ain't doing you no good to come to the field and listen to the coaches. If you're not going home and practicing that stuff or going to look it up, checking out videos or going to see games yourself and see exactly what the coach or the coaches are talking about. Again, part of being a great player is being a great student. You know, you got to be a great student. If you was in regular class, the best student is the student that don't talk. Raise a hand and ask questions, but they're not going to be talking while the teacher's talking. Okay? Last thing I'm going to go over before we get up out of here in about 5 minutes, we're going to talk about, again, I touched on the topic shortly. It was power in numbers. You know, I'm a big stickler about that. You know, from teams being full rostered, it's power in numbers. When you walk out on the field and you keep coming out of the locker room and the locker room and the locker room and everybody like, man, how many players they got? You already didn't won half the battle. Okay, I happen to go to a high school where we had 100 members on our football team. Our band had 750 members in our band alone. When we came to a visiting school, we had 13 buses carrying the football teams, drill teams, bands, and everything. Can you imagine how intimidating that was to see 13 buses and people getting off the buses ready for the game? So, again, power in numbers is very important. And with that power in numbers, just imagine this, you guys. I'm looking on the Ning board right now, and we are at 1,122 members. 1,122 members that either play football, that coach football, or that are fans of football. And just imagine this. If each one of those people on that site donated, fundraised, or gave $1,000, that's $1.2 million towards women's football. $1.2 million towards women's football. Is it possible? Is it something that can be done? Yes, it could be. But again, it goes back to power in numbers. If everybody just gave $100, that's $101,000 towards women's football. That can eliminate some of those fees for some of the teams. That can eliminate some of the traveling issues out there. But again, you got to believe in the power of numbers. You know, I know there's a lot of marketing schemes out there where, you know, you recruit something and they recruit five people. Well, the people on the top always get paid. But you got to continue to recruit. And that's similar to what women's football is all about. Your team is not going to get any better if you ain't got power in numbers. If you only got 11 people on the team, it ain't going to work. And as a coach, you got to go out there and tell those players that everybody brings somebody. So now you go from 11 to 22, from 22 to 44, from 44 to 88. Okay? Again, it's about power in numbers. And we're coming to almost a close. We almost at the two-minute warning here. But, again, I just want to emphasize, you know, we're having great things here with women's football in 2009. It's going to be live. I'm loving what I'm seeing. I just wish that the quality of the games were a lot better. I wish the quality of the players were a lot better. I wish the quality of the teams were a lot better. I wish the quality of coaching was a lot better. I wish the quality of the leagues was a lot better. I wish the stats were taken care of. You know, we just going to make it happen, you guys, and we got to make it happen because without women's football, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be talking. We wouldn't be socializing. We wouldn't be doing a lot of good things that are out there for women's football. And as you can see, that is my closing music. I had a great time here. You've been rocking it four quarters with Coach Lee. You know, hey, sometimes you go into a game with a game plan. All of a sudden, the other team winds up doing some things that you didn't expect. But you got to be able to improvise and go to the sideline and say, you know what, change your plans. Let's do this, let's do that, and let's rock it. And that's what we do here, Four Quarters with Coach Lee, and I am out. Later and peace.
What I that they're falling off. No.